online and in Amdet magazine. So we please hope.
Thanks a million, everyone. Thanks, Paul Casey, for inviting me here and everybody that's turned up. I'm delighted. I'd be more delighted after finding glasses. But I'm here to promote the young book, which is due from Salmon Poetry. I'll be reading some of the poems. If I sell 5 of these tonight, I break even on my travels. So no pressure on you at all, you know. I'm also the editor of Poetry Boss magazine, or as I like to call it, PB, because Poetry Boss is a little bit twee and a little bit calm, and PB is actually a radical magazine. This is PB2. PB1 and PB3 are completely sold out. There's only 2 issues of PB2 left in the whole wide world, and they are here in the flesh tonight, and they are full of brilliant poetry and illustration. And not only that, but a CD with like 40 tracks of fucking pure brilliant genius on it. You know, for €8, which is amazing. And the cover art is by Adam Neate, who's a British conceptual and street artist, and probably the finest artist of his generation. And you were getting, you're getting this for €8. There's 2 left in captivity. So if you fancy one, and look at his pictures on the back. Pure genius. And also, this now is PB4, which is the next edition of Poetry Boss magazine. It's going to be perfect bound. It's 142 pages. It's full of extraordinary poetry, art, illustration, cartoons, reviews, articles, and the best poetry in the world. The shop magazine, John and Hilary Wakeford, have already described Poetry Boss magazine up to PB3 as one of the 2 or best 3 poetry magazines in Ireland. This magazine is going to be the best poetry magazine in Ireland, possibly the world. Okay? You saw it here first. Okay? Don't forget, it's like when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. Okay? Patrick McGlinchey is in it. Or Colm Scully, wherever he is. There's all who else is it? Lem Cisse. Have you ever heard of Lem Cisse? Brilliant poet. Brilliant poet to me. Anyway, so here we go. By myself, if I had glasses now, I'd be away with a mixer. So thanks a million all for coming. And here's some of my poems now, which aren't brilliant. After I saw the brilliance here, done in 5 minutes, it's amazing the talents out there. I was watching the darts the other day now, World Darts Championship, and the fellow that won the darts championship said, pick up some darts, do it yourself. You could be here throwing darts and winning the world championship. And any of you people could be up here, like, getting published and doing poetry. You know, if you've got the heart to do it, you can do it. You know, don't be put off by big words and accolades and everything. Just get up there and do it. That's what the Poetry Boss is about. And this is my title poem, Jewel, from Jewel, which is for sale. 5 copies, I break even. Jewel. Along Cable Street, I stumble in the slatteries and stagger out again to be sure I have my wits. What the hell have they done? Is nothing sacred? Is anything safe from their grandiose renaissance? A curse on them, whoever they are. I barrel onto the keys, singing or talking to myself, corpulent with drink and struggling to reinflate between bursts of song. Filled with stupid elation and fueled on pints of stout, I gaze wide-eyed and glowing at the newfound beauty of herself and a Liffey. Spanned by an arch, the white is shaded pale, the waters are expressive, fecund and inviting. With undulating warm open arms of green, she calls to me in clamshells of desire. Wanting to be smothered within and bursting for leak, I express myself, let fly the floodgates. A stream of pea to the pea green below, relief and satisfaction in equal measure. They'll never take the piss out of Dublin. I'm delighted to be here. I nearly wasn't here, because 2 years ago I couldn't leave the armchair. I was literally like agoraphobic and claustrophobic and panic attack man and everything. Last night my son was sick as a dog, and thank God he was well this morning. I was also nearly assaulted on the train coming down here. Somebody challenged me to a fight, and they took me up on it, and they headbutted the wall and knocked themselves out, and that was grand. Anyway, see, you know, it's safe. I always knew it was safer to stay in the armchair. You know, don't travel, for God's sake. This one is called Pictures and Postcards. I used to live in Manchester, and this is kind of my glory days of courting and nights out and drinking, and it's called Pictures and Postcards. Mountains to mist, Beckett to boxer to blonde, platinum of course, looking me straight in the eye over the slope of her shoulder. She says nothing and a million things. Not one can I catch as like the accusations I fly. I'm back on the midnight bus as it pulls out and pulls in passengers from the random roundabouts of my youth. Girlfriends dressed to kill, dying from the cold. Yards and years away a barge is passing, coal-powered, just like the square panes of light from the Arndale block that lures people like moths. The bigger picture hints of a hunt, of war, of winter. Brothers in arms, their quarry sought, their silence confident, reflective, pleased with themselves and whatever they have done. I remember their faces peering in from the streets of the dreamy cafes. Stay a while, they seem to say. Drink your coffee. Compile this list for lesser days. And this is Lesser Days, funnily enough. I've had some hard times in my life, and all of it has gone into this book. And in a strange way, and John Sexton, the poet who did a review of this book, picked up on it. I was compiling the list for Lesser Days. And, well, this is it anyway. I'm glad Jesse Glendenny of Salmon Poetry picked up on it, because nobody else would. This one is called At My Wake. I've been to an awful lot of wakes and funerals and various things, and so I imagined my own. And this is called At My Wake. Inconspicuous in my absence, eyes thumbed shut, best suited arms stiff by my side. Unable to reach the tasty snacks or pour a pint down the parched gullet. Deaf ears cannot hear how much they miss me. On the rigor mortis scale, I'm 10. Even when young, they said I was dead but for the washing. Do I remember the Last Supper? Butter on toast on Sunday, before the morning on Monday. The crack here now on Tuesday, sure I'll be ashes by Wednesday. Time still winding clocks and watches like clockwork. There will be clean shirts at Easter. Roasting hot days in summer, with tar bubbles bursting for joy. If you take a walk as far as the bridge or the canal, buy me a red lemonade in a black glass in Gleason's. At least I was never the poor crater, the chalk ice, trying to keep his teeth in. And it's funny, I was trying to think what a poem actually is, and I read a thing by Dylan Thomas that actually coined it. And I forgot it, but I was going to read it out tonight. And funny enough, on the way down, I came across two things that reminded me what a poem might be. It's definitely a Pyrrhic victory, a poem. It probably costs you more than you achieve with it. But also, somebody said, it's the astonishing impulse of lost realities. I thought that was a lovely way of putting it. And then there was somebody who described dance as a moment of hurt colliding with a moment of boredom. And also that could be a poem as well. So, well, there you go. That's what I think. Fuck it anyway. This is one, it's called Troglodytes. It's about the Celtic tribe and how it all went horribly wrong before it actually did go horribly wrong. This was written quite a few years ago. I pity the poor wren this Stephen's Day, tortured, tormented, traitor. Persecuted for his inadvertent role upon the drums, raising the alarm, betraying the cause in his hungry search for crumbs. Now we are so sure of ourselves, without sensibility, that here in our silk Celtic tiger striped pyjamas, amongst all the wrappings, discarded toys and turkey bones, we plop and clock, plum pudding blind and indifferent to his plight, our own or anybody else's. I think what kept Ireland great was being a poor country. Poor people are always very generous and kind, and money really is the. They say power is the root of all evil, I think money, oh, didn't they say money's the root of all evil? But anyway, money is the root of all evil. Yeah, absolute power corrupts absolutely, but money is the root of all evil. This one is called A Kiss of Death. A couple of years ago, I got swine flu. I was one of the few unlucky people in Ireland here. Swine flu. And the doctors were absolutely delighted. I mean, I was fucking dying. They were doing high fives and, Jesus, I think we've got a swine flu victim here. What are we going to do? This is cool. And I nearly died. I actually nearly died. I got swine flu, which is kind of like the worst kind of flu you could ever imagine. And it transmitted into pneumonia. And I did actually nearly die. And I was delirious for a lot of it. And I'd been reading a book by Sebastian Barry that had something about hammers and feathers falling. And these hammers and feathers just kept going through my mind. And I couldn't grasp words or numbers or speak. I was talking gobbledygook. But this kind of poem stayed with me. And it was almost worth the swine flu and dying to get this, because nobody likes this poem, but I'm actually very proud of it. It nearly fucking killed me to get this. So, you know, it's called A Kiss of Death. I was the King of Spain and she was the Queen. Sorry to interrupt again, but death, in my case, in this case, actually isn't that bad. I was so ill that when I thought I might die, I was actually really looking forward to it. And almost embracing it. And there was something, people keep accusing me of being misogynist, but there was something very feminine about death, that you would almost embrace it and love it and kiss it. You know, because you're so sick. If you're really sick, you want to die. You don't want to recover. Recovery is too far. You know, death is much closer and easier and more beautiful. But anyway, this is called A Kiss of Death. And I wrote this in a hospital in, not Cromwell, like in Loughlinstown, anyway. The Kiss of Death. I was the King of Spain and she was the Queen. We fought with pillows, feathers and hammers through the fever of ourselves. White canaries sang on the windowsill. Galleons rose on tall black seas as day and night in battle we fell. The heat of her made me sweat, hot hands and thighs all over me, painted nails clutching at my heart. She was beautiful, too beautiful. Her soft words were spoken, barely whispered, sweet nothings in breathy, deathly lust. She wanted me so bad. If I but closed my eyes and kissed her lips, I was gone. This is another one that's just trying to make sense of myself and why I write poetry, because, Jesus, why does anybody write poetry? I still don't really know. It's called Starfish on the Beach. I was looking for hares, foxes, rabbits on the hillside. I was reaching for things out of reach, for unlimited words to make sense of me, trying not to grow too old too quick, running away by standing still. This was winter time, there was no escaping that. Look at the sea, the skies, the dead look of the trees, bereft of, mournful for, their leaves, blown to the four winds and corners of the earth. Wave after wave, tide after tide, singing us the song of winter. Christmas come and gone, a newborn year. Candles still to be lit, and nothing but starfish, starfish on the beach. This is an event that actually happened. I had a dinner party. I mean, party is such a bad word for this. With my then girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. It was really weird. And I got really drunk and obnoxious, as I'm prone to do. And this is called Dinner with Her Ex. Newfangled fancy chili vinegar bottles, I have to say in my defence, my absolutely necessarily, absolutely completely deliciously rat-ass defence, can, almost, in a certain seductive light, I swear, be virtually visually indistinguishable from red wine. But try telling that amid his histrionic spurt and gagging, the frantic backslapping, ruined tablecloth, her "I'll deal with you later" glancing glares, and me wondering when I'll be sufficiently sober to care. I couldn't give a fuck, anyway. There you go. Oh, it was great that night, I tell you. I woke up the next day. Now this one is called This Is a Controlled Poem. I'm not an easygoing type of a fella, and block poetry really annoys me, which is bad considering I'm not in the editor of a magazine, but anyway, this is called This Is a Controlled Poem. This is the benchmark, the vice of neutral, the controlled experiment, the yardstick by which others will be measured. This is the voice of reason. That's reasonable, isn't it? Hardly treason or inciting a revolution. This is the sensible shoe, well-heeled, complementing the weekend wax jacket of authority. This poem is a golden Labrador, the Sunday Times, a bay window Victorian semi. I neatly press shirt for the office on Monday. It won't let anyone into the traffic queue, but it wouldn't cut anyone up either. Made of the road, suburban pinstripe grey. Black and white poems are for extremists, idealists, rebels, and losers like me. And this is a poem about my childhood. I grew up in Tipperary, and it was, as Vinnie Jones said about his Wimbledon career, when finished, it was emotional. This is called I Am a Crooked Line. I am a crooked line, and I've walked a crooked mile, sang every crooked song, wished for sixpence, though none the richer, with the devil at the stile. Life was brutal, kittens never made cats, rain barrel bound, drowned, except the one that caught the mice. We let it stay, though we let everything else go in that crooked little house. Spuds laughed on the plate, sods of turf wafted sweet in the grate, before the lorries had changed like thunder on the one-way tarmac road, before Tony hung himself, before I was afraid, before the heavy rains, before the storms that rage in every fucking crooked line. It's very personal, that film, actually. It's bad to give yourself shivers down your own spine, but that's very near to the knock of that poem. There you go. This one is more modern and about the way Ireland got bad, and it's a real kind of tip at traditional poets like Wordsworth, and also a hit at Captain Screed, I suppose. Am I going on too much? Am I too long?
No.
That's called With Scant Regard for Wordsworth. I wandered lonely as a cabin camel that floats on higher or down than ghost estate, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden speculators, ignoring beside the lake, a naysayer among the trees, fluttering and pissing in the breeze. Impoverished as the stars that shine, surviving on Mars bars and Milky Way, hands stretched in never-ending line along the margin of the double queue. 10,000 I saw at a glance, hanging their heads in deathly trance. The speculators beside them danced through mocking waves in glee. A poet could not be any less youth in such impotent company. I gazed and gazed with little thought how us to our knees their wealth had brought. For oft, when on my couch I lie in pissed or in petulant mood, they flash upon that inward eye which is the bane of solitude, and then my heart with hatred fills for their greed among the daffodils. This one is about, I was obsessed with George Best when I was young, and I went to so many Man United matches where he never turned up. I even supported Northern Ireland because he was their player, and went to their matches and he never turned up. And I used to live 5 miles away in a school, and I used to rush home because it was George Best soccer skills. And every time I caught the closing credits, George Best was the bane of my life. I loved him to bits. And then I was working in Manchester, driving a van around Manchester, and I saw him on Deansgate with Rodney Marsh and somebody else. And I just parked the van in the middle of Deansgate, which is the busiest road in Manchester, and started running towards him, and then realised it was all too late. And also it was the week of the Manchester bombing, but I got a lot of kind invitations to fuck off back to Ireland kind of thing. And an idea actually stopped me out of this. But this is called, and there was a strange thing about Flanders Fields by John McCrae that kind of got caught up in the emotion of the thing. And it's really bad to explain poems, because funnily enough, I wrote a poem, and I've lost it, that I wrote about a poet that really pissed me off this week. And I posted it on Facebook or somewhere, and somebody said it was about the Protestants and the flag trouble in the north at the moment. And I thought, yeah, it could be. And that's why it's really bad to explain poems in a way, because poems are a dialogue. I mean, I bring everything I've experienced up to this moment in the poem, but also the reader or the listener brings their experience. And sometimes it's wrong to, you know, put a literal interpretation on it. But anyway, this one is called In Flanders Fields by John McCrae, with word associated inertia and the certainty of confusion, which is a very simple title. Anyway, the loss of control. Poppies grow. Do poppies still grow? And there was a gene. Is there a gene? 24 hours without a drink would be a personal best. Georgie best. I spent a childhood in adoration, in the aim of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ishkabaha. Would water by any other name taste as sweet? And I supported Northern Ireland because of him. A prized plastic paddy in Noddy Land. Odd cod fish without blessed water. And I wore his cheap plastic football boots so I could bleed for him. And then in Flanders Fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely sing and fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. The Messiah, a lifetime too late, yards from me, walking with Rodney Marsh, his angel Gabriel. And I left the van and I ran, while car horns and humans' glares blared. I didn't care. It was after the bomb, and I had lived, though still my ears rang with racist taunts. I ran like I had run from school. There he was in the flesh and rain, my childhood unwound in every step. Reality tore at my lungs to within 10 feet. This lifetime facade fell like scales from my eyes. I looked and saw and turned away. To you from fading hands we throw the torch, but you also hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we all die, and this too shall pass. We shall not sleep, but poppies grow, will always grow in Flanders Fields. Am I over time yet? I'm okay? How long?
Yeah, one or two more.
One or two more, okay. Suburban Irish towns have really gone to the dogs, and businesses are failing, and it's quite a miserable story altogether. And the rich are rich and will always be rich and get rich, and nothing ever changes really. And this is called The Streets of Our Town. This is about my town, our club, or my present town anyway. I don't belong anywhere. But this is called The Streets of Our Town. Walk through the streets of our town, boarding up shop fronts, embrace the seaside colours of warm aerosol. People don't piss the poetry in these streets, heads filled with diesel fumes, no breathing room for two to pass, dreams no longer burn, hearts beat too long. Walk through the streets of our town, time rolls back through the day, like dull eyes shine on crystal meth. Soul sifted in time's cleansing flame, death wears a hoodie on the streets of our town. Don't ask William Blake, don't beg for mercy, whatever you do, just don't. And then to finish, I'll finish off with this Christmas. I was made redundant a few years ago, and I haven't found a job since. I'm kind of a full-time poet, so I need to sell the 5 books to survive. No pressure on you at all, you know. And it's called This Christmas We. Get your handkerchief out now. Okay. This Christmas we stretch the fabric of life by kerosene, by the gallon. Cut washing-up sponges in two. Surf supermarket car parks for the abandoned trolley's shiny reward. We raid jam jars, pluck forgotten coins from sofa, armchairs, old coats, trousers and dusty drawers. We drink brought home Spanish brandy from other people's holidays. We mend, we contract, cut back, shrink and save. We winnow, but keep it all. We are not yet old, not yet finished. We reduce, reuse, recycle. We cope, we survive. In first world luxury, rejoice in hope and are glad. Thank you.
Five books and he breaks even.
Yeah, no pressure.